He needs to kind of watch what's happening over the course of the next several days and make sure that things aren't progressing.
President Trump is hospitalized for coronavirus. It's Monday, October 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, world reaction pours in. Senate Republicans move ahead on Supreme Court. And mythical creatures. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump remains hospitalized at Walter Reed Medical Center following a positive coronavirus test and exhibiting symptoms of COVID-19. Trump was flown by helicopter from the White House late Friday as a precautionary measure. A short time ago, his physician, Dr. Sean Conley, said he continues to do well and hinted Mr. Trump might return to the White House very soon. Doctors at Walter Reed have administered so far experimental treatments, the drug remdesivir, and two antibody regimens, along with steroids. Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis has thrown a contentious election into further disarray. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the story.
Americans woke up to shocking news Friday, first announced by President Donald Trump via Twitter around 1 a.m., that he and the First Lady have tested positive for COVID-19. The President's advisor, Hope Hicks, has also contracted the coronavirus. She had been traveling with the President, who had been campaigning heavily in recent days.
Hello, Duluth.
On a message that, despite the pandemic, the country is on its way back to normal.
Well, this is very much the message that things are not normal, and he's not going to be able to do these at least for 2 weeks or so with the quarantine.
In a statement, the White House physician said he expected Trump to continue carrying out his duties without disruption while recovering. As a 74-year-old man, Trump is considered high risk by medical experts.
He's just recently been exposed. He needs to kind of watch what's happening over the course of the next several days and make sure that things aren't progressing.
Trump's illness has triggered concerns over the continuity of government.
If the president really were to be so sick that he would need to step away from office, there is a provision in the 25th Amendment which allows him to transfer the power to the vice president and then return when he is recovered.
Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis has thrown an already tumultuous election just a month away into further disarray, leading to questions such as what could happen to the Trump-Pence ticket if the president's condition took a turn for the worse.
Presuming President Trump is no longer able to serve, we would probably see Vice President Pence moving to the top of the ticket. But then the question is, who would be the vice presidential nominee? That's a big question.
On Tuesday, Trump debated Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, where he continued to downplay the importance of masks.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it, he shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Biden and Trump were far apart on the stage and had no physical contact. In a tweet, Biden offered his prayers, wishing Trump and First Lady Melania Trump a swift recovery. Biden has tested negative and has no plans to scale back campaigning, which has largely consisted of small outdoor events. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. India records 100,000 COVID deaths. Solomon's no longer coronavirus-free. New South Wales sees ninth day without locally transmitted COVID cases. Rohingya complain of treatment on remote Bangladeshi island. Pompeo to proceed with Asia trip despite Trump COVID-19 diagnosis. Why Vietnam is asking other Asian countries to help squelch fake news. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. Please also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington, and we continue with VOA Asia. Messages are pouring in from leaders around the world after President Donald Trump announced early Friday that he and his wife had tested positive for the coronavirus. He said on Twitter that he and the First Lady would begin their quarantine process immediately and will get through it together. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
World leaders are reaching out to President Donald Trump after he said he and his wife have contracted the coronavirus. The head of the World Health Organization wished the couple a speedy recovery.
Overnight, we heard that the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, and First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19. I want to start today by wishing them both a full and swift recovery. Our prayers are with them.
Addressing the media at the end of the two-day European Union summit, where leaders discussed the virus and its impact on the economy, German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
I would like to use this opportunity to wish U.S. President Donald Trump and his wife Melania a very full and speedy recovery as quickly as possible from their COVID-19 infection.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador did the same.
I take this opportunity to wish the President of the United States and his wife a quick recovery.
The Kremlin released a statement saying Russian President Vladimir Putin sent a telegram to the White House. In the statement, Putin writes in Russian, "I am sure that your inherent vitality, good spirits, and optimism will help you cope with the dangerous virus." In Nigeria, many newspapers reported Trump's coronavirus infection on their front pages. Abiodun Ayinde, an accountant and tax expert in Lagos.
All of us have to be careful. No one is immune. American president is contacted. So we have to be careful. Stay safe. Use face mask.
A White House official said Friday the president was experiencing mild symptoms. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, 50 Republican and Democratic senators have signed a letter encouraging U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer to begin formal negotiations on a comprehensive trade agreement with Taiwan. The island is one of the 11 largest U.S. trading partners as tensions have risen between Washington and Beijing. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's great to start out a brand new week with you on VOA Asia. Thank you for being with us. U.S. lawmakers have been meeting with President Donald Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who would fill the seat left empty by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If confirmed as expected, Barrett will have a critical impact on court decisions on a range of issues impacting life in the United States, from abortion to health care to this November's presidential election. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports.
The historic confirmation battle over U.S. federal judge Amy Coney Barrett kicked off on Capitol Hill this week as Senate Republicans met and praised the mother of seven nominated by President Donald Trump late last month.
President Trump has nominated exactly the kind of outstanding person whom the American people deserve to have on their highest court.
The death of liberal Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg left the U.S. Supreme Court with only eight justices just weeks before Election Day. Republicans argue that without Barrett on the court, there is a risk that an evenly split court would be unable to decide any conflict over the presidential election.
It would create a constitutional crisis. That's part of the reason the Senate needs to act and act swiftly, so that we have nine justices that can resolve any issue.
But Democrats say that is the very reason Barrett should not be confirmed.
Democrats are pressing her to recuse herself, should she be seated, given that she was appointed by someone that will ultimately be on the ballot, who she might decide to either to keep in power or to decide to remove him from power.
If seated, Barrett would also immediately hear a key case deciding the legality of the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, the program expanding access to health insurance passed during the Obama administration.
This is not a joke to the 20 million Americans who could lose their health insurance if the ACA is struck down.
Republicans argue the ACA overreaches and their not yet released plan would cover pre-existing conditions. The 48-year-old Barrett could serve for decades on the court, making key decisions that will impact the lives of young voters like Sean Yetter.
I'm not a huge fan of Barrett. a lot of, some of her opinions on like healthcare, on like access to healthcare and specific rights, I think are counterintuitive. I think it's a step backwards from progress Ruth Bader Ginsburg had made.
But Barrett's confirmation would be seen as a win for many anti-abortion conservatives who have praised Trump's court nominations.
You're seeing policies that are being passed right now that are supporting the pro-life movement, and they're supporting women.
Democratic voters are concerned the devoutly Catholic judge will overturn decisions on abortion and gay marriage.
I don't necessarily want someone's own personal religious views affecting the decision for everyone.
Judge Barrett has said her faith does not influence her judicial decisions, a concern congressional Democrats expressed at her 2017 confirmation hearing for a federal judgeship.
The dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern.
Republicans say such concerns violate a key American value.
Her religion and how she practices her religion ought not to be a disqualifier, because we appreciate freedom of religion.
Barrett's confirmation hearings get underway on October 12th, and the Senate could hold a full floor vote on her nomination as early as October 26th. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Mysterious creatures like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster are more than just fun, scary stories that we tell ourselves. Myths and superstitions that are passed down through the generations can provide insight into a culture's perspective. As VOA's Dora McCarr reports, they can also function as a warning.
No one knows if Mothman is real, but his legend certainly is in the state of West Virginia.
The Mothman story started here in Point Pleasant in November 1966. On the 15th of November, you had two young couples riding around the outskirts of town at night about 11 o'clock. And they came across what they thought was just a large bird. It chased them in their car, chased them back into the city limits.
More sightings of a giant bird-like creature followed.
Most people that saw it described this as about 6 to 7 foot tall, grayish in color, large wingspan, 10 to 12 feet, and it had two distinct red eyes, about the size of baseballs. Nobody ever reported anybody being attacked or harmed or anything.
Experts say creatures like Mothman are part of American folklore that reveal something about our fears and anxieties, and our understanding that there are mysteries in the world that are beyond normal comprehension.
The idea that there are non-human creatures that inhabit the earth and communicate and interact with humans is as old as human storytelling itself. Today we talk about UFO abductions, but in ancient Ireland and up until the early 20th century, there were stories of people who were abducted by fairies. It's the same thing with mythical creatures like the Mothman or Bigfoot, that there might be creatures out there who inhabit the earth and share the same landscapes, but don't necessarily interact with us or even are known to us.
Stories like Mothman can help explain the relationship between people and their communities. Many people believe Mothman served as a signal of impending danger. In this case, to warn locals of a bridge collapse that ended up killing 46 people.
The Mothman is more of a representation of the fact that people don't necessarily feel like people in charge, like their politicians or the people who are running factories and mines, can be trusted. So they need the help of this magical creature to warn them and protect them.
Mothman and other mysterious creatures are how Americans learn their culture and the stories we tell ourselves about the world. And according to the experts, they are not necessarily fake. Dora McCarr, Point Pleasant, West Virginia, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, Twitter as well, Instagram and YouTube, as well as VOAnews.com. For more on the stories you've heard on our program and for all the latest as President Trump continues to recover from coronavirus. We thank you for joining us today, and we thank those who help bring the program to you each day. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.